We're going to be going through the book of Ephesians. Some scholars call the book of Ephesians Paul's masterpiece, and I tend to agree. It's an amazing book. We're going to be going through it slice by slice, so it's going to be quite a 15-week series. And out of that, we're going to have 15 anchor points, principles to live our lives by. And so I am excited about bringing this message series to you. Now, I thought about lip-syncing this sermon. Am I lip-syncing? It looks real, doesn't it? You can't really tell about that lip-syncing, can you? Unless you've got real good timing. But, you know, mentioning that lip-syncing, we live in an age where it's kind of difficult to determine what's real and what's not. I know Beyonce has taken a lot of flack for what some of the critics are saying. She lip-sank. I don't know if she lip-sank. But I know that Aretha Franklin had an interesting concept because she sang at the last inaugural. And when Aretha Franklin was asked about Beyonce lip-syncing, she said, "Honey, when I sing, it's the real thing." So I'm going to share that with you now, the real stuff. Now, the chief symbol of this whole series is this wonderful anchor, okay? And an anchor is a way that a mariner gets a firm footing on the seabed. And an anchor is designed to dig deep into the seabed and make the vessel immovable. And what we need in our world today is something steady and firm and solid. When you look at the world, it's easy to get afraid. It's easy to get worried because we've got anxiety about the future. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what's going on politically. We don't know what's going on internationally. There's a lot of concerns about the way the culture is going these days, and it creates a lot of anxiety in people's souls. The goal of this sermon ultimately is for you to worry less and to be happy more. More happiness, less worry. I think that sells, actually, anywhere you go. And that's really what we're after. We're after getting a solid foundation so that when the storms of life come over us, we have a firm anchor for the soul holding us together. Amen? So that's the plan. And I just love the anchor because it's a great symbol of hope and solidness. And I'll be talking a lot about anchors over the next few weeks. Now, one of the things that's come up just in society and in culture recently was one of my heroes went down hard, and that was Lance Armstrong. And probably all of you had a feeling that maybe it was true about his breaking the rules. And we had a suspicion, but I, you know, say it's not so, Lance, please, you know, because I really thought that Lance Armstrong, with 7 Tour de France's under his belt, was probably the greatest athlete that America's ever produced. That's just, you know, this boggles the mind that he could win that 7 times, and then to find out that he cheated to do it. And it seems like this is the tone of our whole country these days. People are lying. People are cheating. People are without integrity. And that just creates more chaos and more destabilization in our society. Would you agree with that? Yeah, I mean, like Manti, for example. You know, here's a guy that basically, you know, he kept lying even after the thing was revealed, I guess. But it just undermines our confidence. And in addition to that, because we're a culture that worships celebrity, when our celebrities go down, we don't know who we can anchor to now. But the Bible has a better way. The Bible has a sure anchor. It goes all the way down to the seabed. It just doesn't hang in the water. And that's what we're trying to do in this series. What we want to do is anchor ourselves with Jesus Christ to the solid seabed, so that we become immovable even in the storms. That's where we're going. So with that said, I want to read the passage to you. It's just 3 verses this morning. It's coming from Ephesians 1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus, but we could change that to Sedona, couldn't we? I am writing to God's holy people in Sedona who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Verse 3, now this is the verse I really want to focus on. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. So the blessings of heaven are brought down to earth. Okay? And then a very key phrase, and I really like the way the New Living Translation translates this. Because we are united with Christ. That's the reason we have every spiritual blessing. Let's pray. Father, would you just illuminate our minds now? Would you send the Holy Spirit to stir every heart in this place? Lord, that we would have a direct encounter with you through your word. And that we, in part, would anchor our souls with Jesus Christ to receive these many spiritual blessings that you have for us. And we will give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Now, if you look at the problem, I'm saying the problem is a worry-filled life. Now, here's my theory. When you have no anchor, or your anchor is not deeply entrenched in the immovable seabed or in the rocks at the bottom of the sea, and you're experiencing drifting, that drift in itself creates anxiety. Anxiety about the future, distress about the past. Maybe there was disturbances in your past that are welling up, and also distress about the moment, right now. Okay, so it's ADD. Did you notice that? Anxiety, disturbance, distress. And so with that, we find our hearts filling up with anxiety. Now, I believe that we are not designed for anxiety. God did not create us to be worry warts. In fact, it's damaging to our souls. And so we've got very helpful suggestions in the scripture. It says, take all of your anxieties, make a big bundle, and cast them upon the broad shoulders of your living God, because your shoulders can't handle it, but he can. God's shoulders are broad enough to handle every anxiety. And so we take all these worries and we give them to God. And so by doing that, we go from a worry-filled life to a worry-free life. Just saying that, it's relaxing, isn't it? Yeah, it's nice. And that's where we want to go here, because we're going to anchor ourselves in the bedrock of God's word, and we're going to see a powerful change in the way that we're looking at the universe now, okay? Not worried about the future, it's in God's hand. Not disturbed by the past, we're being healed of those things. And not distressed by the moment, because our God is bigger than anything the moment can throw at us. Can you say amen to that? All right, so that's where we're at. Now look at this collateral verse. I think you'll find this interesting. Hebrews 6:19, we have this, which is God's promise of blessing, or the hope. Some of the translations go that way. As a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. Now I'm going to deal with the inner place behind the curtain, because this is kind of a mixed metaphor, because you've got your nautical mixing in with temple metaphor. But we want to look at that sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. This is what our hope is. In Jesus Christ, we can have every spiritual blessing, because we're united with him. Every spiritual blessing. Now, there's a book out called The 54 Blessings of Ephesians. So some scholar has broken down the 54. I'm looking at these 54 blessings, and I'm going to be sharing those 54 blessings, if that's all the spiritual blessings there are. But I have a feeling there's even more spiritual blessings in the 54 that this scholar has identified in the book of Ephesians. And these are heavenly blessings meant for our earthly experience. Isn't that cool? Heavenly experience, heavenly blessings for our earthly experience. And so that's where we're going with Paul. But before we get into that, I want to start a little backstory here about the book, about Ephesus the town. You know, I love history, and I want to share with you about this. Ephesus was the fourth largest city in the Roman Empire. It was a significant city. It was a seaport, but it was a very deeply corrupted city, mainly because of the pagan worship that went on there. There's a very famous temple. In fact, it's one of the seven wonders of the world. It's called the Artemion. And this is the temple where Artemis, the goddess of fertility, was worshipped. You can go to Ephesus today and see the footprint and a lot of the columns that are left over. The roof's gone, but it's huge. It was one of the biggest temples ever constructed. And it was staffed by 1,500, get this, temple prostitutes. Because in pagan worship, sex is the chief way of worshiping. So you would be a farmer or a seaman, you're asking for blessing on your trip or your crops, and you'd go visit the temple prostitute to make sure that the gods were going to bless you, in particular Artemis. That's pagan, baby. Now, the Christian message comes in with Paul into Ephesus, this massive city, 250,000, huge city for those times. He's preaching everywhere he can. He starts in the synagogues. He starts preaching everywhere, and people are listening, and they're becoming Christians in droves. Why? Because they're tired of their paganism. It really doesn't work. And so they are taking, even their psychics are piling their magic books in big piles and making bonfires with their books. This is true revival. And so Ephesus, or should I say Sedona, was experiencing powerful revival because the message of the gospel was presenting a real anchor that they could ground themselves with instead of the pretend anchor of paganism. By the way, paganism is just as popular as it ever has been. Now, one of the readings that Jim gave was from Acts 17, and by the way, there's a mistake. It's 1727b, not 28a. I missed it a little bit there, so you can change that. But the anchor point for this week is our Heavenly Father is not far from any of us because he's our anchor. We're connected. Now, Thelma and I have visited the USS Midway parked in San Diego Bay. How many of you have been to the USS Midway? I thought a few of you have. All right, now that's an amazing thing. But when we went, we had a docent who was a retired admiral or something take us around because Thelma had connections with the military. So they hadn't even opened it up, so we got to go to the Midway before anybody else because we were privileged. And so we are going around, and he takes us to the very front of the boat. That's the bow, right? Front? Thank you. And there is the chain room in the front of the Midway. Now, this boat probably weighs what? 80,000 tons. And the anchors are massive. They're outside the boat, hanging on the sides. But in the chain room, the links that are holding these anchors are this big. They are massive links. And there's at least a mile of these links in this chain room. And you know, it was the most impressive thing about the Midway to me. Look at the size of this chain. And it links with the anchor, and you take a 100,000-ton boat and you anchor it in the stormy sea, and it goes nowhere. That's the beauty of the anchor. Now, when I was a young man, I worked for Prairie Markets. Maybe some of you remember Prairie Markets. It was the prototype before the Costco, the same company that owned Prairie Markets, Costco. So I worked for them before Costco was around. And the assistant manager, he was a tough, gritty dude. And he said, "Hey, Frank, do you want to go fishing with me?" I said, "I'd love to go fishing with you, Jack." His name was Jack Gerard. And so we went fishing on the Delta, you know, San Francisco, we went out to the Delta. And so he's got a beautiful boat. And we get out to the fishing place. And he says, "All right, matey, cast off the anchor." And so I took the anchor and I cast it into the water. And the chain was going shh. And then I realized it wasn't attached to anything and went bink. Jack didn't like me anymore. You see, it's important for the anchor to be connected to the object it's anchoring. And so we can talk all about anchors and all the ins and outs of anchors. But if you're not connected to the anchor, you're still drifting. And that drift creates all kinds of problems. All kinds of problems. So point number one, let's get hooked up to the anchor. And he's right there. He's nearer to us than we know. God is so near, it's unbelievable how close God is to us. But the bigger question right now is God's there. He's omnipresent. But are you there? Or are you taking a few steps back? Now, it's bad to have slack in the anchor. You know what I'm saying? or you need to be connected. So I told you once that a pastor's job was to draw his congregation nearer and nearer to God. Every Sunday, I'm trying to bring you nearer and nearer to God. Well, now this series is all about getting near to God. Hooking up with him, he is our anchor. He's in the bedrock, and that stabilizes our life, and it makes us less worried and more happy. Come on. Come on. All right. All right, so the issue really is this drift, to alleviate the drift, because our human tendency is what? God says, here's my promise. And we say, oh, that's a great promise. I love that promise. 3 days later, we've forgotten the promise. A week later, we've drifted completely away, because it's just human to do that. But what we're going to do is focus on this anchoring so that we can get a solid platform to work on. Now, here's the introduction now. That's my intro. Here's the point. Introduction. What your Heavenly Father wants from you, okay, or for you. He wants you to gain a new level of appreciation for what he has made available to you. Now, what has God made available to us according to this passage? Every spiritual blessing is available to you, not just the super saints, not just the people that come down here on Monday at 8 a.m. to pray. All of us have access to every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms for earth. Okay? Now, that is the kind of experience that God wants us to have. But all he can do is line out all these spiritual blessings and say, here they are. Will you take them? Will you please take your spiritual blessings? And we kind of look them over like the produce rack and say, oh, that one looks good. But he wants you to experience the whole thing. Enchilada, friends. I'm mixing my metaphors. Oh, unless I was talking about a tomato. It's all there, friends. All these spiritual blessings that God wants us to have. And he wants us to deepen our appreciation of the availability and then determine that we're going to have these spiritual blessings for ourselves. And it takes action. I've said in my previous series that spiritual living doesn't happen by accident. Your spiritual life cannot become deeper by accident. It has to have intention. You have to be determined. You have to aspire to it. It takes work. And as you've experimented, you know the time of solitude that I called you to? I had people melting down in 5 minutes. They couldn't take the silence. And that's the nature of it. But you know what? We can train ourselves to listen more and more to God. Now, we live in an absurd world. Remember this point that I made with you? Absurd, from the Latin. Surdus means death. You're deaf if you're absurd. To who? The ab. What's ab in Latin? The abbey, abba. You're deaf to the Father. Okay, so this whole exercise is actually becoming all ears to God. That's why that solitude is so important. And when we do that, we're building a deeper appreciation. Now, what is the principle behind appreciation? One of the things I can say about it is that you learn to appreciate good things in a deeper way with time. Is that right? Now, Thelma and I have been married 40 years. And when we first got married, she said, "Do you love me?" And I said, "I do. I do love you." And I really meant I loved her. And with all that I had, I loved her. And when we went to the altar, I declared my love and I made my vows. 10 years later, she says, "Do you love me?" "I love you with all my heart. In fact, I think I love you a little more than I did when we started. Maybe a lot more. I can't tell. I'm a guy." So now 40 years later, I can tell you with confidence that my appreciation of the woman that I married is deeper than it's ever been. And I don't know if it's because I'm getting into my 60s now that appreciation seems to be multiplying, that there is an ampage going on. It's amplifying. I'm appreciating her more and more. And I want to tell her how much I appreciate her. That's why I want to put her in this message. She doesn't like to be in my messages, but sometimes she gets in them just because. So this appreciation grows, and the same thing that's true maybe about your marriage is true about your relationship with God. As you're seeking him, you're finding that with time, it's getting deeper and deeper. But there are ways to even Speed it up. That's right. Daily time with God, you know that's true. Here's another thing that God wants from us. He wants you to realize so very deeply his grace and his peace. It's no mistake that every one of Paul's letters starts with a blessing. May the peace and grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be upon you. He starts that way. Grace and peace. And every one of us here needs more grace and more peace. Amen? Because of that anxiety thing. You know, and here we are living in, you know, the God's country, right? We all know that. And we live in this beautiful setting, and yet we have such chaotic lives here. I've said this, and I'm going to say it one more time. When I've worked at the other four churches that I've had, Pastor, by the way, Pastor Trent and his wife Peggy are here with us today. You know, I had larger churches with less chaos. But here at Christ Center, I got a lot of chaos. And it's not just the congregation, it's chaos. Now, you could say, well, that's because we're in the midst of spiritual warfare. And that's true. But even in the deepest, dankest, darkest moment of the battle, the Bible tells me that I can still be worry-free and have the victory. Amen. And God wants me to realize his grace and his peace. What he wants for all of us to experience is his grace and his peace. Are you experiencing his grace and peace? Because if you're not, it's time to experience that grace and peace. How do you do it? By drawing nearer to him. Intentionally. I'm going to get closer to God. I'm going to discover some things about him that I've never known. Because I know there's a lot I don't. It's going to take me eternity to discover everything about God as it is with you. By doing so, we are ready to receive his blessings. Now, this is a key point. Because we have to want it. There has to be desire. And by the way, I don't think God's looking for our desire on a scale from 1 to 10. Where are you at with this? How much do you desire to draw closer to God to experience this grace and peace that he's offering us? Is it like a 10 with you? Are you just completely obsessed with God, wanting this grace and peace? Or is it more like a 3? In fact, you might be saying, well, what is the minimum, Pastor Frank? What is the minimum? Now, here's something out of my personal life right now. Found out I need a root canal. It's going to happen Thursday. All right. So I went to the endodontist, and he said, this will cost you. And I almost passed out. So I called around, and I got a hold of an endodontist who offered it at this price. Now, there's no anesthesia, but it's cheaper. Now, there's some anesthesia. A little bit, not the total package. But what is the minimum? We're constantly asking, what is the minimum? Do I have to pay that much? And the truth is, we're not paying God anything. We're just making ourselves available and getting more determined and more passionate about seeking him. We're not asking the question, what's the minimum? I'm not a 3 on the scale. I'm a 10. All right, maybe I'm not a 10. Maybe I'm a 7.3, but I'm somewhere on that scale on the bright side because I want more God in my life. Is that the way you feel? Well, that's what we're going for now. That's the goal. Let's go to point number one now. Because every spiritual blessing, everybody here wants every spiritual blessing. I mean, if you check with your soul is saying, yes, I want it. You know, I want every spiritual blessing. Give it to me. Yes, but how? Well, note the first thing that Paul says. He says, all praise to God. Other translations, bless God is how it starts. And so this is the beginning of how to get all those spiritual blessings into your life. You bless God, which is the exact opposite of how our wiring is. Because who are we going to bless first? Moi. Now, here's the key, primacy. We give God his proper place, primacy. He's number one. This is a difficult lesson for anyone because we're trained to make ourselves number one because we are selfish by nature. I'm number one. Now, God comes in and says, if you want every spiritual blessing, you bless me, not yourself. You know, I'm praying, God bless me. We even say, God bless America. But have you seen the bumper stickers that say, America bless God? That is what we're talking about. We bless God, it's primary. This is the primary directive, to bless God. And when you're blessing God, you're finding the depth of that stability that we're talking about. This is the deepest place we can go. We're blessing God. And so I step back from being number one. He steps up. He is now number one. He always was number one. It was a joke to think that I ever was number one. I'm not even on the list. And neither are you. God must be primary. And that's what Paul's saying. And Paul's saying, look at my own life. Now that's gutsy, isn't it? Hey, if you want a model, here I am. Now, you know, the pastor is supposed to be the model for the congregation. You know, Frank Robinson is your model. That's not the best idea. But Paul certainly had it together because he had everything. He counted everything as rubbish to know Jesus Christ. Everything was off the table. It was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He was the primary one. And so this Paul is the one that we want to follow. He's the one we want to look after. You know, we want to come along. I want to be more like Paul. And by the way, if we do that and we make him one of our heroes, like Lance Armstrong, truth is, he won't let us down. Wasn't it interesting that Lance confessed his sin to our high priest? Yes. Interesting, huh? I'm still trying to figure that one out. Let's go to the second point and wrap things up here. The second thing that Paul's saying is seek God's hand. He says, bless God, and then seek his hand. Look for his hand in your life. Look at his hand in all conditions. Yesterday, we had the men's breakfast over at Wayside. You know, it was the general church breakfast. And everybody's saying, go meet this guy. He's from Anchorage. He doesn't believe in Jesus, but he's got one of your wristbands on. So I go up to him. And we engage in this most incredible conversation, and you would have loved it, Jane. I can tell you right now, this guy. And so he's telling me, the first thing he says to me is, my father was not a Christian, and he was so virtuous that there was more virtue in my father than all of you Christians in this room. That's what he said. I said, I believe you. I believe you. And then he said, he practiced the golden rule. I said, I believe you. Now, where did he get this idea of the golden rule? What is his source? And what is the source for your life? Well, I live by the golden rule. Well, where did that come from? Well, we talked about a few things, and he said, well, okay, I know these ideas came from the Bible. So then we talked a little more. And he said, I'm doing a study of my family. I've taken it back five generations now. My great-great-grandfather lived in Buffalo, New York. And he's telling me about Buffalo. There's only 2,000 people in Buffalo in 1810. Really, is that so? What religion were they? You know, there's 380,000 people in Anchorage, and they're all diverse. He's from Anchorage. He changed the subject. Because he knew my point. Where did his family get this golden rule? Where did they get the rootage to be what they are in virtue today? It's Christianity. The only thing is, he hasn't the heart religion. He doesn't really have the head religion, but he's claiming that he's so virtuous based on Christian teaching, but he doesn't get it. He's blind to it. Now, here's where the hand part comes in. Because I talked to him, I quoted a couple of verses. We had Pastor Dave there was giving the lesson, and Dave was quoting every verse that I quoted to this guy. And then the song selection for the worship time, all about grace. And I said, how do you define grace? And he said, I don't know. I said, you need to think about that. And all these songs were about grace, Amazing Grace, Grace Like Rain, all these things. And I'm going, this is the hand of God coming down on one guy. I mean, there's 50 people in the room, but one guy is getting hammered by God, and I'm not sure he even gets it. When you're looking for God's hand, when you have a consciousness, I'm looking for God's hand, it's there. Now, if I say, look for something red in the room, look around real quick. Okay, see anything red? Doris has her red coat on. There's lots of red things in here. But you weren't thinking about red until I said, look for red, and you gain a consciousness of red. Look for God's hand. You'll see it. Usually it's so fast and so slick you don't see God's hand. But if you got a conscience, that was God. I recognize that. All right, so this is what you want to do. You want to seek his hand and be conscientious about it. Conscientious, big word. And receive his solution and be thankful. Now, I have an acrostic that I came up with after I wrote the sermon. So here's what I want you to do. Write C-A-R-T-S on the back of your notes or someplace. C-A-R-T-S. Because this is the way to pray. CARTS. Connect with God. That's the connect. So go to God and listen. Don't be absurd. Listen. And make the connection with God in the solitude. Then ask. But ask for his life-giving power. Okay? Ask for the life-giving power to be in you. We had a gentleman in the service just before us. He burst into tears. We all went to pray for him. I said, Lord, give this man your life-giving power so that he can get beyond the emotions right now that he's going through. Then, thirdly, R, receive. Receive what God has. Okay? That means your heart has to go out and grab it. See, I think a lot of us are coming to our prayers very passively, but reach out in an activist sense and go, Lord, I'm taking this because I know it's one of the spiritual blessings you want me to have because you've given me all spiritual blessings. So I take it, okay? So I've got C, connect, A, ask, R, receive, and then give thanks in advance. Be thankful already for whatever God's answer is. It may not turn out the way you thought it would. And then be specific, the S, specific supplication. Now, our beloved brother Bill Johnson has pneumonia right now. And his bride was in our service. And I just happened to grab Bill. I said, I've been praying for Bill specifically that he would be released from the grip of his pneumonia. She happened to be sitting there. She said he took a walk yesterday. And that didn't sound like pneumonia to me. That sounds like victory! That's what God wants. He wants us to have that kind of victory. Amen. So this is where we're going with. We're gonna push the carts. Get it? Did you get that, Tom? Carts. Push your cart. Push your cart, brother. And I just thought of that. That's pretty cool. I like that. And here's what. The bottom line is God wants more of you. He wants you to be appreciative on a different level. He wants you to realize all these spiritual blessings. He's saying, bless me. Primarily, and then look for my hand, and now you got it. Now, this is going to be an adventure. You're going to find a C-level change in your spiritual life. If you go with what Ephesians is going to tell you, these 15 messages, your life should be changed. This is Paul's masterpiece, brothers and sisters. This is the best of his teaching. We're going to take it down, we're going to show it to you, and things are going to pop. You ready for some pop? All right. I want you all to stand as the worship team comes back up.